Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministers with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Bishop Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They're the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor is Pastor Oshabar Hartman with his wife, Lady E. Hartman. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school and 10 a.m. begins their worship service. They have Bible studies every Wednesday, actually every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can call into this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to the Bible study live. They also have Bible studies at their locations every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear some songs. Amen.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed, and in due time God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world and to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. God is
doing a great work. God is doing
to perform. You ought to encourage somebody. Show your name. He's faithful to perform.
Faithful to perform.
God is faithful to perform.
Faithful to perform.
Yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is faithful.
Faithful to
faithful
perform.
And great.
Faithful to
great
perform.
Is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created for such a time as this. A great works, a great, great, great. And see greatness exceeding abundantly more than we can imagine. But let me assure you that it's great, and our God is faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, you're great. Yes, Lord.
I wait until I'm down to nothing to talk to you again. I've had chances before, but I was busy doing other things, trying to write my own story, but I'm quickly realizing that I am only the paper, and you rebuild me better, man.
I just want to be better. Just listen to those words. I just want to be better. But what is she considering? She's considering to be more like God. To act more like God. To look more like God. To be more like God. I just want to be better. Imagine that mindset, that mentality. If everyone had that mentality, I just want to be better. Hallelujah. How much different. In a better way, because the ultimate goal is to be better. So how much different, better way would this world be? I just want to be better. And then the first song says, he who has begun a greater work, that greater work is a better work, a greater work in you, is faithful to perform. So the question is, has that greater work begun? Because if it has begun, he's faithful. Hallelujah. God is doing a great work in me. Let that be your confession, your declaration. God is doing a great work in me. Because I just want to be better. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for once again for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and get into the word, amen. Coming out of the book of Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans, the 12th chapter. Reading verses 1 and 2. Those of you who follow me, who listen, who call in regularly, you already know that this passage of scripture is one of my favorites. Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read verse 2 again. And it reads, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The title of the message this morning is The Face of Change. The Face of Change. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for watching over us as we lay down and rest before you. Thank you, Father, for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, protecting us, Father, watching over us, fighting off all the fiery darts of the enemy, God, keeping us from all harm and danger. And thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning to see another glorious day that you have made, for we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers, your word that sets free, Father, all those who are bound and captive in what we call sin. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, Father, to stand in the gap for us, God, to live a sinless life and to take the sins of the world to the cross, to be sacrificed, to be crucified, Father. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, for even allowing Jesus to go to hell for us. But he went on a mission to take the keys of hell from Satan. Hallelujah. But you didn't leave him there, Father. On the third day, you raised him up from the grave with all power in his hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for receiving Jesus into heaven with his sinless, precious, conquering blood, giving us the victory, Father, giving us access to you, God. Hallelujah. Reconnecting us to you, God. Reestablishing our relationship with you, Father. And thank you for Holy Spirit, who you sent to be our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our aid. And thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, our Father, Creator of heaven and earth. Thank you, Father, for considering us. Hallelujah, for creating us, for calling us your own, Father. Those who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to be called your children, your sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply to our lives to make it personal, Father, that we may be better, hallelujah, and that we may grow into your image, Father, of being more like you, looking more like you, acting more like you, Father. But we know that if you begin a good work, you're faithful to perform. So, Father, we thank you that you've begun a great work. Hallelujah. That we may be more like you. We thank you and we praise you. Get your glory, Father. I decrease that you may increase. None of me and all of you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 The face of change. We're going to look at our scriptures again. And we're going to read them in different translations. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. We're going to first read it out of the Message translation. Well, let's look at the King James Version. King James Version. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the word that sticks out to me is the word transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what is transform? Transform is to change in composition or structure, to change the outward form or appearance of, to change in character or condition, which means to convert and to become transformed, which is change. Change. But let's look at scripture in the Message translation. Romans 12 chapter, verses 1 and 2 in the Message translation. And it reads, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Those three words are the most important words in this passage. God helping you. Take your everyday and ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God. God said he should have no other gods before him. So this says take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping. Don't put sleeping before God. Your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Offer those things up to God. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. I want to read that one again. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. These are some powerful words. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. You know, that's the word today. Culture. But don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Fix your attention on God, not the culture, not your surrounding, not your relationships. Not your environment, but fix it on God. And then listen to this. You'll be changed from the inside out. Key is inside. From the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. And quickly respond to it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let's say that again. Delayed obedience is disobedience. There used to be a saying that I grew up hearing. Especially when it comes to playing cards or playing checkers. Says you think long, you think wrong. You think long, you think wrong. This says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down its level of maturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what God wants. Says he forms he brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's the Message translation. Now let's look at the New Living Translation. Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. I wanted that to sink in. He said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. What if everyone did that? Give your bodies to God. Because of all he has done for you. Of all he has done for you. And what is that? We just heard it during the prayer. Jesus gave his body for us. St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind he will find acceptable. Listen to that. So everything we do, the way we're living, we should ask God, are you acceptable? Do you accept my lifestyle? Do you accept the way that I'm living? This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Man. That should be a billboard. Should be a billboard. It should be a commercial. It should be advertised all over the world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God go. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. A lot of people ask, well, what is God's will for my life? This right here gives us the instructions on how to know God's will for our life. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So the most important thing is how you thinking. As a man or woman thinketh in their heart, so are they. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now that word perfect, going back to the Message translation, that's God developing that well-formed maturity in you. That's what being perfect is, being mature. Now let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. It's the last translation. Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2 in the Amplified Bible. And it reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service. and spiritual worship. So how we live is how we worship. Let me say that again. How we live is how we worship. Our worship will tell on us. Our worship tells how we're living, and how we're living shows in how we worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. Emphasis on external and superficial, the outward appearance. What is attractive outwardly, physically, through the natural eye. Let's look at something. We're going to come back to this. Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. And we're going to read verse 6. Genesis, the third chapter, verse 6. And it reads, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. For the longest time, I thought that it was Eve's fault. I thought that Eve had sinned. I thought that Eve had messed up. But I didn't finish reading this verse. I'm going to read it again. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. But that's not a period after the word eat. It's a comma. And then after that comma, in this same verse, it says, and. So after she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, comma, and gave also unto her husband with her. Who is that? Who is Eve's husband? It was only two of them in the garden. Eve and Adam. says, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. So not only did Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not only did she eat the fruit, but also unto her husband with her. Now she gave it to him. She didn't. You know how you see. I'm thinking of a commercial where someone is on a beach, laying back. A guy is laying back on the beach, and a woman is feeding him grapes. No, that's not what happened here. It says she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So she gave it to him, but he chose to eat from it. He didn't have to. Even after she ate from it. Why is this so important? Well, let's go back to Genesis, the second chapter. Starting at verse 15. Genesis, the second chapter. Starting at verse 15, and it reads, and the Lord God took the man aka Adam, and the Lord God took Adam and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. The Lord God commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then next scripture after that, after God placed Adam, after he took him and put him in the Garden of Eden, and then commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the garden that's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After God had given Adam that commandment, the next scripture says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So when God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden and commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve wasn't even around. Eve hadn't even been created yet. Because in verse 21, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. An And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now listen to this next scripture. Verse 25, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now, let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, even if it would have stopped there, according to what we just read, God gave Adam the commandment. So even if it would have stopped there, everything would have been all good. So woman was not the blame. Eve was not the blame. Nothing happened until Adam ate from it. Even after she gave it to him, he could have said, no, ma'am. I'm not eating this fruit. No, sir. God commanded me not to eat from it. Now, you want to eat from it? That's between you and God. But I'm not eating from it. And this says, and he did eat. And right after he ate, the next scriptures, verse 7 says, eyes of them both were opened. After he ate from it. After he ate from it. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. Now, we just read where it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed because they didn't know that they were naked. Being naked wasn't an issue to them. But when their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked, it says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Right then and there, they were conformed to this world. That's why it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be changed in composition or structure. Be changed outward form or appearance. Be changed in character or condition. Be converted. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. You must be born again. It's not a question. It's not a multiple choice. It's a declaration. You must be born again. It's actually a commandment. Wow. Wow. That just hit me. To be born again is a commandment. And so if that commandment is disobeyed, to disobey a commandment is a sin. And the wages of sin is death. So to disobey being born again leads you to death. But that death is spiritual. That death is hell, the lake of fire. A lot of people say, I need to change. There's a song, the lyric says, I'm going to make a change. For once in my life, it's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. Those are the lyrics of a song. And there's another song where it says everything must change. Nothing stays the same. But we don't make change. Change makes us. I'm going to say that again. We don't make change. Change makes us. We don't make change because it's not that's doing the changing. What is change? Change is the act, process, or result of changing. Alteration. To make different without changing into something else. What we just read. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to make different without changing into something else. But to become different. To make radically different. That's what change is. To transform what we read earlier. The face of change. See, change has a face. So we can recognize it when it shows up. We don't go somewhere to make a change. No, change shows up to make us different. Face, the word face F-A-C-E. Y'all know I love acronyms. The F is for features. Features, when you look at a face, what are its features? How does it look? What is its structure? Its makeup. And the A is for attributes. What about it is so attractive to you? Why is it getting your attention? And the C is characteristics. How is it affecting you? And the E is for expressions. What is your reaction to it? How is it changing you? So we must first ask the question. Number one, is there a need for change? Is there a need for change? And number two, what or who needs to change? My environment? Is it my relationships? Is it my lifestyle? Is it my eating habits? Or is it me? Do I need to change? So once we ask that question, it becomes personal. But understand, we don't make the change. Once we ask that question, then we must first admit that there needs to be a change. Once we admit that change, once we admit the fact that it must be a change, something has to change, then we must acknowledge it. Acknowledge the change. Because once we admit it, change is going to come. So when it comes, we must first acknowledge it. You know what? Okay. I recognize it. I know what that is. And then we must be aware of that change. Understand why it's there. So admit that there needs to be a change. Acknowledge that change is there. The opportunity of change is there. And then we must be aware of change. Understand why it's there. What's the purpose? What's the reason? then we must accept it. We must accept change. And once we do that, we're no longer the same. Once we accept, we're no longer the same. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, Isaiah 43rd chapter. Isaiah 43rd chapter, verse 18. And it reads, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. So in order for change to happen, as that song says, we must let go. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, change has showed up. Verse 19 says, behold, now this is God speaking. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not recognize it? Shall ye not understand what's going on? Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, what that's saying is not going to be normal. May not even be easy. May be supernatural. Because he said he's going to make a way in the wilderness. When someone is in the wilderness, that represents being lost, being in a dark place, being uncertain, not knowing. But he said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. That's when he's going to give direction. He's going to give instructions. He's going to give strategies. And rivers in the desert. Listen to that. Rivers in the desert, dry, hot, nothing but sand. But he's going to make rivers in the desert to help refresh you, to give signs of life, to help grow and mature you, to help strengthen you. That's the face of change. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. Starting at verse 45. First Corinthians 15 chapter, starting at verse 45. And it reads, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." The last Adam is Jesus, a quickening spirit. Because it's not about the outward appearance. But as we read earlier, it says from the inside out, the spirit, albeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. We were created spiritually because we came from God. But then we were birthed in the natural. We became human beings with this flesh. And then it says, and afterward, that which is spiritual. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Must be born again. Spiritually. His spirit created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. First man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. There's a difference. There's a distinct difference. You have those who are earthly, and you have those who are heavenly. You have those who live in the flesh, and those who live in the spirit. You have those who walk by sight, and you have those who walk by faith. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. This is the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's change. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's change. death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are the representatives of change. We are the representatives of change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's change. So we are the face of change. When someone sees us, what are they looking at? What are our features? Our makeup. Our construction. What are our attributes? What is it about us that's so attractive to the world? What are our characteristics? How are we acting? Christians should be Christ-like. Christ followers, acting like Christ. And what are our expressions? How are we representing change? How are we living? We are the face of change. Transformation is a major change in form, nature, and function. That's what it is. Form, nature, and function. How do you look to the world? How do you act in the world? And how are you functioning around the world? How do you look to the world? How do you act in the world? And how are you functioning around the world? The face of change. I'm going to end with this. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. Starting at verse 17. And it reads, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. The word ensample is another word for example. Which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we are looking for change. We're looking for the face of change. We're looking for Jesus. The Savior, the Lord Christ Jesus. So the question is, because we are the example, they recognize we're the face of change. So will they recognize change when it shows up? Since we're the face of change, will they recognize change when it shows up? Because when it shows up, when change shows up, it says that we will be like him. We will be like him. So are you like him? Do you look like Jesus? Do you act like Jesus? As we mentioned last week, the creature is waiting earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if you are saved for real, then they will recognize Jesus because of the face of change that they see every day. We don't make change. Change makes us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for an image of who Jesus is. And thank you for allowing us to represent his image. For when he shows up, he will be recognized and he will be received because of the face of change that you have placed in us. His features, his attributes, his characteristics, his expressions. Thank you, Father, for using us, that you may be glorified. That you will be lifted on high. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The face of change, just the attributes, the characteristics, and the expressions of change. We don't make change. Change makes us. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Ripley.